Hey guys, what's up? It's William the Opinion Updike here with my best friend.
What's up guys? Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
Just in case you didn't know, we're coming at you every day of the week with new content, Monday through Friday. Your local experts, your biggest fans, fresh content. Today we got one hell of a show lined up for you, as always. Today is Twitter Tuesdays, so we're going to be going into Twitter beef between two reporters and find out where we stand. We're going to start with a general wrap-up of the NBA's action last night. We're going to get into, as we said, the Twitter battles, as well as some other kind of NBA news. And then we're going to wrap up with a preview of tonight's matchup versus the Pels.
So, general NBA wrap-up real quick. Huge game last night for the Spurs and Lakers. Spurs beat the Lakers 143-142 in overtime. I'm still not used to seeing these numbers for NBA scores.
It kind of hurts your brain.
It kind of hurts my brain. Also astonishing that like the Pels are averaging like 140 in just regular time.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say, to be fair, this was an overtime game.
Yeah. LeBron hit a huge three to take it to overtime. And then with 11 seconds left in overtime, missed two free throws where they were up one and missed the game winner. He ended with 32-8-14. Kuzma had 37-8.
Wow.
Which kind of blew my mind reading the stat sheet.
Yeah.
Josh Hart had 20 off the bench. I don't think anyone else on the Lakers scored more than like 12 after that. DeMar DeRozan with a career-high 13 assists.
Wow, good for him.
I know, dude. Pop is a true genius. LaMarcus Aldridge had 37-10. Kind of an insane game stat-wise for both teams. The Lakers really have a problem at center, I think, is what this game is the biggest thing this game showed.
Yeah, definitely.
37-10 is absurd.
I mean, I don't know. I think they were maybe hoping to get some playing time out of Mo.
Yeah.
Who ended up injured.
Yeah.
And then,
what's the deal with his injury? Is it a hip?
It's something lower body for sure.
Ugh.
But I think the timetable is still somewhat unclear. At least to me it is.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, not for us it doesn't suck. But Clippers or the Lakers fall to 0-3. Worst team in the Pacific Division currently.
Yeah.
I would say worse than the Kings. I'm just saying that so our mentions blow up. The Warriors took care of the Suns, 123-103. Curry had 29, 4-8. Seems like he's going to be in the MVP.
A pedestrian.
Yeah, a real chill, just your average, 29-4-8. He seems like he's in MVP form this year, maybe more so than Durant. It seems like he's maybe has like some weird, not that he doesn't have the desire before, but it seems like he's taking more of like it's his team back. Kind of thing offensively.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Which for me personally is a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Even though most people like us probably don't like watching the Warriors win all the time. Durant had 22, same old, same old. DeAndre Ayton had 20, 14, and 5. Booker had 28, 5, and 6. TJ Warren with 27. No one else on the Suns over 7 points.
Real top heavy for the Suns.
Yeah.
I feel like you kind of got to expect that, especially with a team it's got a lot of young guys on there.
Yeah, one of them being like a center who's like the next piece kind of thing. Like he's going to absorb it.
Makes sense though that Ayton would have a big game. That's a pretty good matchup for him just because of the length and athleticism he's got.
Another team that kind of has a center issue is the Warriors, but thankfully they have 3 of the top 10 players in the NBA.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Klay seems to be kind of in a weird early season funk maybe. He hasn't been his regular old self on the offensive end at least.
Yeah.
Let's hope his
contract stuff is weighing on him.
Oof. He's got so many choices to make. Does he stay with the best team of all time?
I'm just imagining him like waking up in a cold sweat with like different NBA logos like flashing in front of his eyes.
Yeah. He's waking up to it's like the horse in Godfather, but it's just different bloody basketballs with logos on the teams. Biggest story of the Western Conference so far yesterday, the Grizzlies shocked the Jazz. 92-84.
Hit him with the shocker.
Classic hit him with the shock. Grizzlies are going to shock you is what you got to look out for. Grizzlies shot 37% from the field. The Jazz almost matched that, shooting 35% from the field. Classic grindhouse victory for the Grizzlies.
Yeah. 2% is what it takes.
Dude,
man.
That's all you need. Mike Conley had 23-7-4. Awesome to see him back playing really well. You're a big Mike Conley fan.
Yeah, I like Mike Conley and Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol had like a pretty throwback performance for him. 18 points, 13 boards. Highest score for the Jazz was Jay Crowder with 15.
Ooh.
Not a good. Gobert had a chill 11-12. I think if he's just going to average a double-double this year. Super sloppy game from both sides. Jazz, I'm not sure what they need to work out. I think they can maybe chalk this one up to maybe a fluke or just everything not happening the right way at the right time.
Yeah, maybe being tired. Who knows?
Yeah. Probably all that Memphis barbecue they ate.
They'll probably bounce back. Speaking of the Grizzlies, there was a Bleacher Report had an article today about some like blockbuster trades they'd like to see.
Oh.
And one of them involved a trade that would send Pau Gasol to the Grizzlies.
Wow, a reunion.
Yeah, for a couple young assets, and the Grizzlies would send over Mike Conley.
Hmm.
Conley to the Spurs. I like the idea.
That would be tight.
Gasol brothers is an old pair. I don't know how much you're doing with, but I like the sentiment.
Yeah, they could run them at the 4 and 5 and just, like, I don't know, have some really cool passes out of the post where they get beat by, like, 35 every night. No, man, it would be really cool to see Conley coached by Pop.
Yeah.
With DeMar and LaMarcus?
Yeah.
That'd be nasty. I'm now freshly still just worried about the Spurs being like maybe the 4 seed. I don't know. It seems like Pop has unlocked like the further greatness that is DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. I mean, they're a much, if all healthy, they're a much more sound team, I feel like, than last year. Just
yeah.
Because of no Kawhi, nothing, not saying anything original there, but yeah, I don't know. They still have really got to get this backcourt figured out. Patty Mills, you know, yeah, has been doing a good job in the interim.
Not a long-term guy, though.
No, and they gotta get something figured out.
Former Clipper great Austin Rivers really helped out the Wizards beat the Trailblazers in OT, put up a monstrous 3-2-3. The Wizards beat the Blazers 125-124.
How many minutes did he play?
I don't know. Over 10, I think. Not good. Lillard and CJ McCollum went for a combined 12 of 46. Yeah. The other Morris brother helped the Wizards with 28-9 with 6 of 10 shooting from the three.
The other Morris? The lesser Morris?
Yeah, the lesser Morris. I wrote that this felt like a fluke win, but I mean, the Wizards will take it, and I think every Clippers fan will take any loss dealt to another Western Conference team.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Sometimes you're just going to have shots that don't fall, and when you're kind of relying on like a high volume backcourt, you know, you'll have nights like this. It's kind of interesting, I think, that these two teams are like a really pretty similar foil for one another in the Western and Eastern Conference.
That's a good point.
They're like a little backcourt reliant, and they're like both teams that like they have some level of star power.
Yeah.
They always have high expectations and it always kind of underperform in the post.
For sure. You would think Austin Rivers would be getting more time to help out John Wall, but I guess the Wizards are just going to run John Wall to death.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole reason they brought him in, was so John Wall didn't have to play all these minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he's not clicking in their system. He's always welcome back here on the Clippers. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking about Twitter Tuesdays, guys. So there's a fantastic tweet from the Clippers about their flight to New Orleans tonight. The best thing from this tweet, I think, was the amount of Chick-fil-A that Shea and Jerome were bringing on the flight.
Yes, yeah. They both have not like the paper bag of Chick-fil-A.
Huge
bag. It is the plastic double-handled bag. Each one of them, they're not sharing.
No. Which I like. I like that they're probably good friends, but they're not sharing their Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Yeah, I love it. You got Jerome Robinson with the 90s mom swag, with the sweatshirt tied around the waist.
That's all you need.
He's wearing those moccasins. He's wearing slippers on the plane, which I'm all about comfort when you're flying.
Are those team issued moccasins?
They are not.
Oof. I mean, I guess that's good. We should get some.
It could be a Mossy Oak or something. I'm not really sure of the branding.
Let's assume Mossy Oak.
They look comfy.
I had a fantastic pair of Mossy Oak slippers that I would wear in college sometime. They were camo. Everyone loved them. Kind of a funny Twitter beef that's happening is Mark Stein and Shams. Is this going to be a thing, do you think?
I don't think it's going to be a real thing long term. Stein is obviously the instigator.
Which kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, why are you doing this? So Shams broke a tweet. Or he didn't break the tweet. It was a story about the path to the G League. And then he tweeted out about it. And then Mark Stein came back at him and was like, huh, tweeting about a story that already has multiple sources. Like, it was a very odd situation for Mark Stein. Let him live.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they have some sort of history that I'm unaware of?
I don't know. I don't know what history two reporters could have if one of them, because Shams is like 24.
Yeah.
So maybe Mark Stein punked him at a birthday party? Like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Something got under his skin, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like I want to see more of that.
Yeah, like writers beefing?
I want to see writers clapping back at other writers.
It would be funny, because it always would be funny, you would think.
Yeah.
Or maybe some people get exposed if they're not good writers, or at least at jokes. Oh, man, that would be... Let's hope it doesn't end in violence. That's all we can pray for here is a style. What if it's like a Durant? What if it's like a Draymond Green Tristan situation at the next time they're at the same game? Like Mike Stein is like throwing punches at Shan.
Who's holding back who? Like what reporter is going to hold back who?
Well, I think
Woj is holding back Shan.
And I think Zach Lowe is in the middle just saying, guys, guys, please. We're all on the same team. The team of news is what he would say.
I feel like Doris Burke is on the sideline putting somebody in a choker hole.
Yeah, she's like,
she's like, she's just to defuse the situation. Not to,
she's like, anyone can get this.
It's just her instinct. Like she sees a fight breaking out. And she's like, oh, well, somebody's going to sleep.
Someone's getting slept on. Someone's getting slumped, dude. NBA Twitter is like getting more and more ruthless every week. I feel like the power of NBA Twitter. Blog boys used to be the thing, which is a great term invented by Kevin Durant. And I kind of agree with him partially on it.
Yeah.
NBA Twitter's worse, dude. Like. The things that were posted, someone posted an edit of LeBron missing those two free throws, and then it was Kobe taking his family out of the game.
Very funny.
Absolutely hilarious, but I'm like, and that was from Worldwide Wob. Fantastic Twitter account you should follow. He's one of the peaks and greats of NBA Twitter. But it's these like, there was another tweet from an account that I think was called Die Hard Lakers that was like, we need to trade LeBron. Let's get some good assets who can help us win. He's a tired old ass, blah, blah, blah. Twitter shouldn't be used by everybody. Like, there should be an application you have to fill out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Of, like, how level-headed are you in certain situations?
And you should maybe actually have to take a short quiz before every tweet.
That's a really good call.
We've talked about this before, but I feel like it's just going to be the constant narrative throughout this season that last year LeBron was a regular player, almost universally recognized as the greatest.
Yeah, of all time.
And this year, for some reason, he's a decrepit old man.
Someone in the mentions was like, no, we need to keep LeBron. He had 32, 8, and 14. He goes, you're just too busy with LeBron's D in your mouth. And it's like, dude, he had 32, 8, and 14. He's doing all he can. Good note in here, the more Rondo and CP3 stuff came out on Twitter, Rondo saying that CP3 is a terrible teammate. Is CP3 the instigator in this situation?
You know, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest CP3 fan, like, mentality-wise. He's a great player, but I would hate to play on a team with him.
Yeah, so Rondo brought up the point that he thinks of him as a terrible teammate, and he said that people don't know how Chris Paul really treats people.
Which I can see.
Which I would believe. And I do believe that Chris Paul is kind of an instigator. He's like a get-under-your-skin guy.
Yeah.
So I do think the instigation was a little bit mutual here. I think the spit takes it over the top still, for me.
Agreed. I will agree that anytime you're spitting on someone, you're probably have taken it too far. Unless they've spit on you and you're returning the spit, I think you're maybe taking it too far.
Yeah.
And also, like, Rondo's family was, like, yelling inappropriate stuff of CP3's wife, which is not good.
I know, but that's not, like...
That's not him.
That's not necessarily on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it made me wonder, because the way Rondo sees it is that, you know, Chris Paul is the head of the players union and stuff. And so people think of him as like having this kind of good guy thing. Whereas Rondo, I would say, is a more close to universally disliked player.
Agreed. Yeah. But the stuff in Dallas and like that really, and he's kind of painted as like weirdly a selfish player, despite being a guy who can have 18 assists.
Yeah. But I guess to me, I've never thought of maybe when he was still in New Orleans, I might have, just because I barely saw him, mm-hmm. I might have thought of Chris Paul as like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But knowing him, like his play style and everything, that's not like nice guy is never like two words that would pop into my head to describe Chris Paul.
He has great PR also.
Yeah.
He's in the State Farm commercials. Like if you don't really watch NBA very often, you assume, oh, it's Chris and Cliff Paul. What a fun dude. He like dresses up as his other brother in these State Farm commercials. But I mean, even on the Clippers, like we've talked about it, he would yell at the refs so much and like it turned into this whole like team thing. It like exacerbated this kind of like, woe is me, I deserve all these calls vibe.
Yeah. And I think that he can be really aggressive with teammates.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I think to some degree it works. I do think that he is a great leader.
For sure. If it works, it works.
You don't always like all great leaders.
Yeah.
But I think in some ways he's kind of stuck in that thing, like how we talk about Tibbs or like just certain older styles of leadership or management where like you kind of people do the right thing because they don't want to hear about it from you. They don't want to get yelled at by you.
Yeah.
And I think that does work well for some people. I don't think that it's going to work for most teams.
Yeah. And he's such a smart guy that he doesn't understand when people can't get a concept.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, man, but still not everyone's going to be as good as you at these things.
Yeah.
So totally. Let it go. I wish Rondo was on Twitter more. I really wish Rondo would just wild out on Twitter.
Yeah, it kind of surprises me that he doesn't.
Yeah.
He probably has good PR people.
Yeah, who are like, give me the damn phone, Rondo. Still waiting on someone to get fined this year for some tweets. That's got to happen in the next couple weeks, I think. I hope so.
We're still in the honeymoon phase of the NBA season.
Very true. Do you think a player will challenge a journalist to either one-on-one or a fist fight this year over Twitter?
I can only hope so.
I hope so too. I hope it's ex-NBA great Rasheed Wallace who does it to somebody and then they set it up because he has a bunch of free time. Coming up, we're going to preview the huge game we have against the Pelicans tonight at 5:00. But first, Will, you know I want to bet on this game. How can I bet on this game? I love betting. How can I bet on this game?
Well, you know, it used to be a little tricky.
It used to be. It
used to be a little scary.
Yes.
But right now, you can join MyBookie. And they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar.
Buck for buck? For it's, Chuck?
Yeah, buck Whoa. For buck for Chuck. Use promo code INTERLOCKEDON. That's E-INTER, locked on, like the name of this podcast, all capital letters, to activate the offer. So, Charles, if you want to bet, you should visit MyBookie online today.
I'm going
That's
to.
That's MyBookie.
Bookie, not Wookie.
It's Bookie. And don't forget to use promo code INTERLOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. That's dollar for dollar. No bookie you've ever gambled with before is doing that for you.
They always spit on me.
You play, you win, you get paid. That's my bookie.
All right, guys. So tonight, huge game for the Clippers. We can get to three wins in a row.
For the red hot Clippers.
For the red hot Clippers going against the terrifyingly red hot Pelicans. They're averaging 140 a game with a 35.5 team assists. It has only been two games, but it's a very scary sample size.
Yes.
Quick, just right off the bat, here is what matchups like. So obviously AD is the biggest matchups. What do you think we can do to stop Mirotić? We're going to talk about the AD matchup, but Mirotić is playing absolutely lights out right now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a matter of just containing switches and staying on people's mm-hmm. men to like eliminate mismatches where he's shooting over shorter guys.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really important for Gallo to be locked in defensively.
I had that same note. I want to see that effort, nothing is leading us to believe he won't have that effort.
Yeah.
But if he sets that tone early, it's going to go a really long way for bothering Mirotić.
Yeah. So that's definitely going to be really difficult. I think that, you know, we do have some defensive tools to fire at him, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure the Prince, Luke, body up on him.
Oh, I hope he steps up tonight. It would be awesome to see just like a vintage Luke Mbamute defensive effort.
Yeah, he's really good on the perimeter defense, so I could definitely see that happening. I don't know. What if we did something crazy? Like, what if we threw a bigger body? Like, what if we have Trez or something on Mirotić?
Yeah, I was thinking because there was an article put out about how kind of versatile defensively the Clippers are, and it's like, why not run Trez and Gortat maybe?
Well, here's a thought. I mean, it's going to be a little bit hard to shut down both players on every single possession.
For sure.
So what if you just neutralize the three? You let Anthony Davis score in the paint. I mean, you have somebody around the rim, but you lose those points. It's fine.
Yeah, like, call it a wash.
Yeah. If you can like eliminate the perimeter scoring, though, I feel like you might be onto a little something.
I like that theory. I like that a lot. I think they might. Yeah, I think that they're going to probably throw different looks at him to try and just get him uncomfortable. I hope we can get him into early foul trouble. That would go a really long way to helping us tonight. Is maybe drawing some like ticky-tacky charges or something like that. Or not charges, because he doesn't ever really drive that much. But like blocking fouls or something like that
where we can kind of just get him off his rhythm because he's such a rhythm guy. In the past two games, the whole team's been in a rhythm.
Yeah.
So they need...
I think that that's going to be... I mean, especially against the Pelicans, the team that led pace last year, is going to be... We need to dictate the momentum and kind of the flow of the game. I mean, and obviously you always want to do that, but it's going to be crucial in this game. And I think that if we can really grind out those possessions for them when we're on defense and then, you know, try to run as much as we can.
Yeah.
Because they are, they're not the fastest run back on on defense.
Mirotić especially.
Yeah. So I do see if we're able to, like, really slow down those possessions and then, you know, make something happen in transition play, that's got to be our best shot at, like, gaining some sort of advantage.
Yeah, Mr. 94 Feet's got to show up tonight defensively.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he will. Next matchup that's terrifying to think about is Anthony Davis versus all of our centers.
Yeah.
I'm including Trez in this because they might put him on him.
Yeah.
You know? Gortat is going to have to work harder than he's worked all season to contain. You're not going to stop Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just so versatile, and none of our guys are good, like, from the rim all the way out to the perimeter or at the center position. So I think that is going to be such a huge challenge. Like, I wonder how much time Boban is even going to see, because that's not, to me, that's not a very good
horrific matchup. Like,
for him,
Davis would just take him off the dribble.
Yeah,
and it would just be over, I think. Maybe late in the game if they're tired, but Anthony Davis doesn't get tired. It's the other thing.
Yeah. He's used to like a high usage rate.
If we hold him to under 30 and 10, I think we have a good chance of winning this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing is going to be, like, just part of that defensive identity, you know, continuing to like force turnovers and steals.
Yeah. Hands in the passing lanes. We got to frustrate him with that ticky tacky stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it'll be interesting, like, backcourt versus backcourt, especially if Doc does choose to go with Bradley and Beverly to start, which I'm a little bit hesitant of. I just think it's going to be hard to get in to be in a big hole early on in this game.
Yeah.
But that matchup of Bradley and Beverly versus Peyton and Holiday is kind of interesting to me. I think that...
we can attack that.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially Elfrid Payton. You know, he's new to the team. I don't think that... I think that he's going to be the most likely to give up turnovers and, like, get... be at... liability for steals.
Definitely. I'm hoping we can maybe win that backcourt battle. Maybe he'll start Bevan Shea up top to just kind of have an injection of offense in the backcourt in the beginning.
Yeah, that would kind of be my preference.
Because we don't want to have what happened to the Thunder happen to us.
Yeah.
In this game, which could maybe happen. Not, you know, as crazy, but who knows. Coming off the bench, a matchup is going to be Julius Randle versus our whole second unit, which is a pretty big opportunity for Julius Randle to come in and make a big impact, because our second unit has not been the strongest defensively.
Yeah.
I think Mike Scott's really going to struggle. But we just, I think, I put a note here that I think Randle could have the best game of any of the Pelicans tonight.
Interesting.
I think just because our second unit, I think he can attack Mike Scott. I think he can attack, you know, maybe not Luke if Luke is playing really well, but he might put up a triple-double. He did in their first game. I just think his energy and, like, him off the bench is so smart too. Like, he is a starter. He can be a starter for almost any team. But yeah, bringing him off the bench adds such an injection of offense to their situation.
Definitely.
He's like a bull in a china shop who has a ton of coordination.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the big three that we have to shut down. I know every team probably is trying to do that, but we do have the tools to do it. I like your idea of maybe giving weird looks on Mirotić.
Yeah.
And, like, putting some bodies out there. What we need to do well, defensive switching. We just talked about that. That has to be on point.
Yeah.
It's been kind of slipping so far. Beverly and Bradley have to step it up. Beverly in that Houston game looked really good.
He did. Yeah.
It's the best he's looked all season.
Yeah. He was really active the whole time.
So if he can keep that up, you know, we can maybe hold him to under 140.
Yeah. I mean, I think the ball movement is going to be so much more important too.
Yeah.
If we can get, like, that first quarter kind of movement that we had against the Thunder.
For sure.
Where it was really moving at a high clip. I think that's going to help tire this team out when they're defending us, and just create better looks, you know, create better looks for for Gallo and Tobias, who are going to have to, you know, they're going to have big scoring nights. If they don't both have, what, 26?
I know, I was just thinking 25, and I'm like, man.
Are we even still in this game?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, it's a team, like we said, averaging 35 team assists. As a defensive team, we get a lot of hands in the passing lanes.
Yeah.
So we got to discourage them passing the ball early.
Yeah.
I don't even care if we get the turnovers. Just get your hand in there and show them that the normal passes, the initial reads that they make, aren't going to work necessarily.
Yeah.
So we really want to try and make their coach have to coach a lot more. This is going to be a tough game for rebounds. This is our what we do bad section.
Yeah.
This is going to be not a fun game for rebounds. I don't even really want to try and count them as the game goes on. Gortat needs to use all the energy he used in the first three games just for tonight. We shot very poorly against the Rockets in three. Cannot be 5 of 25 and keep this thing close.
No.
Mike Scott, maybe this is his breakout game of the year so far.
We'll see.
It's gonna.
He scored his first point.
Hey, only took three games. Pels can run anyone out of the Smoothie King Center pretty quick. So let's hope that happens. Clippers Film Room on Twitter, which if you're listening to this and not following them, give them a follow. They're so awesome at breaking stuff down. They had a good tweet that Avery Bradley got burned a ton on defense against Houston, and he hasn't been that great on D to start the season. He's been overzealous and has compromised team defense with play such as these. Let's hope he's not overzealous tonight, because those assists are going to come a lot easier if he's trying to do, you know, a little too much on ball and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
We're pulling for the guys. My prediction, I've been fairly pessimistic this year. I'm going to predict the Pels win 125 to 107. I think it's going to be closer than that score indicates, but I think maybe late in the fourth, Anthony Davis is just going to go Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
And have like 15 and 7 in the fourth or something like that. Who you got?
I gotta go Pels as well.
It hurts.
It really hurts. I think it'll be a little closer than this. I'm hoping, I think in the neighborhood of like 120 to 110.
Okay, I'd be okay with that. This is one of those losses where it's like, if they roll over us, I'm bummed. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I guess the Pelicans are the best team in the West.
Like, yeah, I mean, the Pelicans are just scary good right now.
If they put up another 140, I won't be shocked.
I would be. For a team that's really trying to assert its like defensive
prowess. Yeah, that's true. I would be bummed. I would be weeping, no question about that. But I wouldn't, you know, I weep all the time, so it makes sense. Guys, the game is at 5 o'clock. You know, get out there to the Smoothing King Center, fly down New Orleans, show our boys some support. We're going to do our best to get down there. Tomorrow, we are going to have What Could Have Been Wednesday, where we tease something, you know, what could have been with the Clippers in the ARLL universe,
ooh,
if you will. We're going to recap the hopefully victorious game against the Pelicans and have some general NBA news. Guys, I have been semi-positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Update.
We will see you guys tomorrow on the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.